my name is Tracy Melissa Wheaton, and I'm the Program and Technology Specialist for InSource. I'm here with Rylan Rogers from Family Voices Indiana, and she is here to talk to us a little bit about the Medicaid waiver. So welcome, Rylan. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thanks a lot for having me, and we're excited to share with families a little bit more about the Medicaid waivers and how it can support them. Family Voices Indiana is Indiana's family-to-family health information center, which exists in every state to support families who are raising children with special health care needs and disabilities and understanding health care financing information. So we're here in Indiana to support families with questions they have around anything health-related for their children.
Outstanding. Well, let's start today by talking about what a Medicaid waiver is. I know there's a lot of parents out there when I talk to them on the phone and we're taking information about what's going on with their child in school. Oftentimes I'll ask them if their child is on the waiting list for the Medicaid waiver, and I often get kind of a stunned silence. Well, what's the Medicaid waiver? And then I have to try and launch into an explanation, and I'm not always real good at doing that because I'm not sure I fully understand the Medicaid waiver. So today, if you would be so kind as to maybe talk to us a little bit about what the Medicaid waiver is and how that could affect families with children with special needs, we would be appreciative.
Absolutely. And I certainly understand the confusion that can exist. Medicaid in general is a complicated system. It's a state and federal partnership that supports healthcare funding for a variety of different populations. And Medicaid waivers is a little bit of an additional complication. In fact, what it is the legal mechanisms to provide funding for home and community-based services for people with disabilities and special health care needs. The term waiver comes from the fact that, in fact, what a Medicaid waiver is doing is waiving some of the Medicaid requirements to the state. So in order for states to offer Medicaid waivers, they have to put in a special application to the federal government to waive some of the requirements and offer Medicaid waivers to certain populations in their state. One of the things that most often comes up about the Medicaid waivers is people think the waiver in Medicaid waiver means that you're waiving income. And in fact, that is true for children in that they're waiving a family's income and resources as a source of eligibility. But for adults, the income and resource limits are the same if you are access a Medicaid waiver. So the waiving is only for children. But Medicaid waivers are available in the state of Indiana, and it is a program that our state, like many other states, offer to provide some home and community-based supports and services.
Okay, so is there more than one type of waiver?
Yes. Each state comes to the federal government with a different plan, and in our state, there are currently five types of waivers that fall into two categories. There are medical waivers that require a medical level of care, and developmental waivers that require an institutional developmental level of care. So we can talk a little bit more about which is which, but there are five waivers that are in two different categories. If you meet a nursing level of care, you might qualify for the medical ones, which are the aged and disabled and the traumatic brain injury waivers. And so those are the two medical waivers in Indiana. And so anybody that meets the requirements for a nursing level of care should consider whether they should apply for those waivers. If you meet level of care for an institution for a person with a developmental disability, then you may qualify for a DD, autism, or support service waiver. That gets a little confusing because we're a state that no longer has developmental disability institutions, so figuring out whether you qualify for an institutional level of care is really a definition and not a place anymore. But those are the main sort of criteria. And under the DD, in order to qualify for the autism waiver, you also have to have a diagnosis of autism.
Okay. And support services, what is that?
Support services is one of the three that are under the institutional level of care. So a person that's applying for a DD or an autism also applies for a support service waiver frequently it's a smaller waiver that provides a less comprehensive package and it has a limited budget. Originally, it was a waiver that people could access quicker. There was a shorter waiting list than the DD and the autism. Some of the structures around how those waiting lists are organized are currently actually under discussion for revision in our state. But at this moment, it's important for people that on the DD side to sign up for both the DD or autism and the support service.
I see. Thank you. How can a waiver help my son or daughter?
One of the really important things we hear from families is it can provide Medicaid for children under 18 who are otherwise ineligible. So if your family's over income limits or you have access to private insurance that would prevent you from accessing Medicaid, it can provide access to Medicaid. And then for all ages, it provides services above and beyond the Medicaid and that are customized to the individual needs of the person. And those vary depending on the type of waiver and the budget that each person has, which are now created under a formula.
Okay. And that kind of answers my next question, which is what specific types of services are available under the various waivers? But if you could delve a little further into that, that would be really helpful.
Yeah. And again, it really depends on the type of waivers. So each waiver has a little bit of a menu of what services are available under those waivers. And then it further depends on the budget that's available to the person. But some services that people receive under waivers include respite, music therapy, residential services, behavior management. It's important to note that those services are above and beyond the services that would be covered under Medicaid, which they also receive. So it's that sort of whole package that a Medicaid waiver plan provides.
Okay. Now, how can I apply for a waiver?
Now, this is the part that sometimes people find a little bit tricky, but in fact, it's pretty straightforward. So there's two points of application. If you're applying for the DD kind of waivers, so again, that's the developmental disability, the autism, and or the support service waiver, you do that through your local Bureau of Developmental Disability Service, or BEDS office. If you're applying for a medical waiver, so that would be the aged and disabled or the traumatic brain injury, you do that through your local area agency on aging, or sometimes called the AAA offices. The DD paperwork includes a disability determination profile and interview. That's for people over six. You can apply for a child that's under six, but know that you'll have to do that when they're reach that age and submit some additional paperwork. The aging or the medical side start with a phone screening that they do at your AAA. And Family Voices of Indiana is available to help families who need assistance applying for one or both of the waivers and navigating that system. So if you're a family that needs to try this, is not quite sure where to start, we're happy to help you with that process.
Okay. When should I apply for a waiver for my child?
We encourage families to apply as soon as possible. If there is a question that a child is going to need this level of care or service, it's important to go ahead and apply. The one thing that I always tell families is that you can apply now, and then if it's not something that you need later, you certainly could decline it at some point. So it's sort of getting that backup plan in place. And it is possible to apply even in that process where you're still getting some clarity about the final diagnosis. So if there is a developmental need, then it's important to go ahead and apply for the DD waiver. Again, many families face significant wait list time for these waivers. So getting involved in the process and keeping up to date on that is critical to start now. And then you certainly at some point, we would all be happy to not need a service and could decline it at a later point. But keeping that option open is important.
Okay. I've often heard that there are horrible waiting lists for the waivers. Can you confirm, deny that?
Currently, there are pretty extensive waiting lists. There's been a little bit of movement. Recently, there have been some efforts to pull people off, but people are waiting what seems to be about 13 years plus to receive a waiver on the developmental disability side. There are some special categories where people have gotten emergency waivers. Some population of people that have exited schools have been able to access a support service waiver, although there's a little bit of a wait time for that currently. And on the aging side, the medical waivers, the wait list is shorter. It's only a couple of years, but there is still a wait, and that varies depending on what part of the state you're in some in terms of how they bring people onto those waivers. There's also an ongoing effort to look at those waiting lists and to look at our waivers in general, and there are some proposals that we expect to be coming out very soon from the Family and Social Services Administration based on a requirement from our state legislator last year to look at these and figure out if there's a way to get people access to the waivers and shorten the wait. So that's one of the pieces. We encourage families to go ahead and sign up, but then also to stay really engaged in our information sources so that they can learn about changes as they happen.
Okay, why is there a waiting list for the waiver? It seems like these services are needed and necessary, and yet people with significant concerns are being forced to wait for many, many years. So why is there a waiting list?
Well, when our state introduces and asks for Medicaid for the waiver to the rolls, they put a plan in terms of how many people they're going to serve and how much money is available to serve them. And so, as with many things, it's really about resources and how much has been allocated to support this population. And many families struggle with understanding how that matches to the cost savings that's happened from the end of institutionalization, but really it's not a direct that those dollars came into the waiver system. It wasn't a direct process. So it's really about resources and making sure that there are enough funds to support the folks that need the services that are offered. So that's one of the ongoing issues that we encourage families to share with policymakers, is how important resources are and how these kinds of supports contribute to our families and our community and really our economy by allowing families to be actively engaged.
Okay. And again, that kind of plays into the next question I had, which was what could be done to rectify the waiting list. And it sounds as though the best thing a family could do on an individual basis is to share their story, their concerns with their legislators.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's really important for all sorts of issues that impact our children and our families to develop a relationship with your policymakers, to let them know about your family and your story and what issues are important to you, to let them understand how healthcare financing impacts you, how special education impacts you, to keep those priorities on the front burner and really develop that relationship on an ongoing basis. Right now, our legislators are in session, and many communities throughout the state, Chamber of Commerce, are hosting Saturday morning breakfast and other things where you don't have to travel to Indianapolis, but you can meet and talk to your legislator right there in your community. They all have email, they all have phone access, just to share that story on an ongoing basis and keep your input and priorities an active part of our democratic process.
Now, I've waited, say, 10, 12, 13 years to get my child a waiver. How will I finally know if my child is at last awarded a waiver?
When a waiver slot is available, you will get what's called a target letter from the state. It comes via certified mail, and you must respond to it. If you do not respond to it, that slot can go away or be given to the next person. It's important that you contact, and for that reason, it's important that your contact information with your local BEADS office is accurate. So we encourage families to write on their calendar every year to contact their BEADS office at least yearly and update and make sure that their contact information is correct. If you ever move within the state of Indiana and you're in a different BEADS district, you need to make sure that that information is shared and you have your new BEADS information so that you're in that loop of communication. It's also important to understand that if you move out of the state of Indiana, Medicaid waivers do not transfer from state to state. So you would need to access whatever system is available in a different state. So that's a common question that families ask about. But when you receive a target letter, it comes via certified mail, and then you'll respond to that.
Okay. Now, who is it exactly that administers the Medicaid waiver, kind of provides the oversight?
So Medicaid waivers are administered through Indiana's Family and Social Services Administration, and there are a couple different agencies within that larger agency that have a role. The Office of Medicaid Planning and OMPP, Medicaid Projects and Planning, I believe. They do the budget side of it, And then we've talked about that there's the AAA and the BEAD office. So there's some oversight in under FSSA that's separate for the Medicaid, for the medical side than for the developmental side.
Okay, very good. How can listeners get more information, Rylan?
Well, I encourage folks to, we're happy to help them through Family Voices of Indiana. So we have a website, it's fvindiana.org, and we would be happy to connect with anyone to support them in their application process, to answer any additional questions, to get them connected with their local BEADS office, with their local AAA. You can also reach us by phone at 317-944-8982 or by email at info@fvindiana.org.
Rylan Rogers from Family Voices Indiana. Rylan, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the InSource podcast. The views expressed on this podcast are the views of the person being interviewed and not necessarily the views of InSource.